the 3 weeks have become something, in my opinion, that's quite interesting. Because what happened with the 3 weeks is, as we know, in Sephardic tradition, 3 weeks don't exist. There's no such thing as the 3 weeks. And there's almost no such thing as the 9 days, right? The Shul Shel Chalva. So, Sephardim realize, so we kind of, if you will, the Ashkenazim invented this time. And with that, we also, I don't want to say, I don't mean in a derogatory term, we also invented a lot of new things that didn't exist before. And as technology became something, all of a sudden some new things were invented as well. Like, oh, you can't listen to music, and this type of music, and this type of music is okay, acapella is okay, but this type of music is not okay. And then when we start, it's very interesting if you think about the history of this, right? When Jews started shaving, which was not, you know, everybody used to have beards all the time. So then all of a sudden shaving became a question during this time. Okay? And then as we started buying clothing every 5 seconds, the Shehriyano became a question. Right? So I think it's important to discuss this. I want to start maybe a little bit backwards, but it was something I haven't really discussed so much. And that's the Inyan of Shehriyano. So the first question is really going to be, do we say Shehriyano anymore? Right? I don't know. By a show of hands, has anybody ever said Shehriyano on a new fruit besides for Rosh Hashanah? Besides for Rosh Hashanah. Okay, anybody on clothing ever said a Shehriyano, new clothing they bought? Excellent, you're not in the shirt. No, right? So the question is why, right? Let's say the majority of people did not raise their hands. Maybe because you don't understand English. But the question is why? What's with Shehriyano? So Shehriyano is a halacha mefurish that when a person buys a new garment or has a new fruit, they're supposed to say Shehriyano. What does it mean? Baruch Hashem, thank you. We know Shehriyano, our friend Shehriyano, we know him from where? We know him from like Yontif, a Kiddush at Yontif. What does that mean? Why do we say Shehriyano? Shehriyano v'kiman l'zman hazeh. But I've come to this time again. It's not so pasha to say. Right? Here today, gone tomorrow. The fact that I'm able to celebrate another Yontif is Shehriyano. Right? We say Shehriyano on a new mitzvah that we don't do all the time. Wow, I get to shake a lulav again. Right? I don't have to think so far back. You know, used to be a time where, you know, they tell a story that there was one lulav and esrog, and it was, you know, it was yucky, and that. So Shehriyano, that we could be able to do the mitzvah. So what happened to fruits and clothing? So I purport that what happened was, is that the whole concept is a simcha. You're supposed to have simcha on Yontif. You're supposed to have simcha that another Yontif came, another mitzvah came, right? A Megillah reading came again, and we say Shehriyano. Clothing, maybe we don't really feel, excuse me for saying this, maybe I don't feel a simcha anymore. Now, what are we talking about clothing? Mistama? I'm talking about like real common examples of the suit. So it depends where you live. If you're a fancy Five Towns boy, right, and your parents aren't as fancy Five Towns as you are, and Rachman and Litzlan Lo Aleinu, they make you shop for your suits at Suit Central instead of going to the Emporio. You can say Shehriyano on a suit like that? It was only $279. Rachmanu Litzlan, it gets even worse. Your parents made you shop at Marshall's in the Bay Harbor Mall. And it was on clearance and it's so embarrassing. You're going to say Shehriyano on that? That was only $179. Maybe that's where it came from. And the fruit? Forget about it. What Korean fruit market can you not walk into and get any fruit you want any time of the year? Why would there be? All of a sudden now Rosh Hashanah comes, and this is hilarious because this is like a chumash she'en kamohu. There's a suffik yom on the second day, so all of a sudden we find some Chinese pear or kumquat or something I never heard of before that always tastes disgusting, and I make a bracha levatala because I make a shehriyano on it, and then I make a, you know, bori pri eitz and I spit it out. That doesn't make any sense. I get any simcha from that. So I heard this idea once from one of my rabbeim, Rabbi Sobolowski. So he purported that. He said that that's probably the reason why Shehriyano is not so common anymore. So then I called him once. After I moved to Eretz Yisrael, I said, you know, I remember the shir that you once gave. I don't want to disagree with you, Chas v'shulam, but I want to say the metzias in Eretz Yisrael are different. Because in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have the fruit all time of the year. Right now, we're in the season, let's say, of cherries. Cherries you see once a year, literally. Grapes, two times of the year. Strawberries, if you hold, you can eat strawberries. So you see that twice a year. Right? In the winter, guess what? You got apples. Shkoyach. Apples and oranges. That's it. You're not getting a melon. You know, we don't have Korean fruit markets in Eretz Yisrael yet. So there is a tremendous simchus. I said, Rabbi Soloska, I actually think that in Eretz Yisrael, when I'm chasing that, I haven't had a cherry in a year. Okay, I know I travel to America every month. Okay, fine. But if that, I think there's a shachiyah of it. I genuinely appreciate the fact that I'm able to have anis peiros Eretz Yisrael. It's something different, whatever. That's the mitzvahs. So when the whole shaila comes in, the Shulchan Aruch paskins and says that you don't make a shachiyano during the 3 weeks, mainly because why? Because of the words that we say. Shachiyano v'kiyimano lazman hazeh. Zman hazeh is a bad zman. It's a bad zman, the 3 weeks. How can you say lazman hazeh? How are you happy on this zman? You're not allowed to be happy. This is actually originally came from the Sheilas HaTshuvos of the Maharil, obviously one of the main codifiers of halacha in Simon Tesvav. He says that we don't say Shechiyanu on fruits and clothing during the 3 weeks. And the Bach says, don't even get into the Shiloh, don't buy any new clothing. The Mishnah Berurah paskens la'halacha that this is so. I want to point out one thing important. A lot of times, a lot of people think 3 weeks equals Sfiras Omer. Comes Rav Avadi Yosef and he says the following thing. Zin Yechav Adas Chelek Gimel, Simen Lamed. Ulam! La'achar hit bonanut nirash yesh chiluk gadol ben chodesh av. He's Sfaradi. He only knows chodesh av. L'chein yemei asvira ki b'chodesh av he orehu ha'chorban beis hamigdas v'shar pranios hamuvois b'meshechas tanis. Right, we went today in the slichos, which was done so beautifully. In the slichos, we read all of the tragedies that happened Shavuos and Matanis. It wasn't one thing. A lot of things happened on this day. Right? We're in the time of Peronios. And therefore, Huzman shel Ason, Klal La'am Yisrael. It's a bad time. Bechia L'doros. Shemirag L'choy B'yom Chaya. Aval Yimei HaSvira Mitzad Atzmam Eno Nechshavim L'mei Peronios. Adarabah, says the Ramban in Parshas Emor. The Kedush of Yimei HaSvira is ke Scholamoid, he writes. So he says, Bazman Hazet and Sfira, he's very against not having new fruit during Sfira. But he says, during this time, he said it's better not to. So, it's a bad time. It's interesting that the Ber Mayim Chaim says something interesting. One of the earlier halachic sources, in Simon Zion, he writes, he says, I have a great idea. Right? Again, assuming now you make a shachiyanu, he says, okay, so what? I want to eat a new pri. The pri comes to me. He talks about that the Rabbeinu Shalom is going to have one of my favorite Maimur Chazal. He's going to have an accounting for each person who a food is presented to him, and he says, I don't want to eat it. He doesn't write this like this, but I'm on a diet. I don't want to eat it. You could have made a bracha on a food, a new food. You're going to have an accounting for not eating that. That's why I eat so much. So, the Ber Mayim Chaim says, so when the fruit passes you, so say the bor priyev, and don't say the shachiyanu. What's the big deal? Just don't say shachiyanu. So the Maim of Mordechai, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, jumps on him and says, what kind of halachic Jew are you? You have an obligation to make a shachiyanu. It's like he's saying, wear the new suit, just don't make a shachiyanu. He's like, how can you do that? I'm not a halachic Jew if I don't do that. So they're upset about it. But Mordechai is quoted as saying, so just don't make a shachiyanu. Again, I have to say that I don't know if this happens a lot, right? Because guys, you're going to go on a trip. You're going to go on your day off, right? And you're going to find yourself, well, what do you do? What are you doing? Camp? You go to the Syracuse Mall. Shkoyach. So now you've been, oh, it's the 3 weeks. I can't buy any clothes. I want to buy clothing. So you want to say that, you know, Baruch Hashem, you're not girls. So I don't know if it's such Simcha Yaseira when you buy new clothing. You're like, wow, this is amazing. Furthermore, you're not making a shechayon on any of the clothes you're buying. Anyway, it's nothing to do with. I'm saying that you buy yourself a new shirt. You go to, I don't know, wherever you shop, Nebuch. Banana Republic, you go to. Right? Or you're on a lower level. You go to Gap. Or like a really low level and you go to Old Navy. So you say shechayon on that? During the year, you don't say shechayon. So why can't you buy it during the 3 weeks? Because there's a simcha, you say? Yeah, some quote that. Just to end off, the Gra says, he doesn't understand. He calls this a chumi yisera. Why is it called a chumi yisera? He says, I don't understand. An avel is allowed to, right, he says, is allowed to wear during the year of avelus. It's interesting that he writes this. He's allowed to wear new clothing that you don't say shechayan on. So why can't you just stop wearing new clothing? So I don't think this is the common accepted halacha today. Avelim do not wear new clothing the whole year. Sometimes they play shtick. If they don't have any clothing to wear, so somebody will wear it for them, you know, like the people do this. One of the most horrible things I've ever heard, those that rip, right? There's a halacha, you rip kriya when you go to the kotel. So you're so poor, Nebuch, that you don't want to rip your shirt. So what do? You take your shirt off, and you wear your friend's shirt. You're not allowed to rip your friend's shirt. That's asur, right? So we were once with Rav Schechter, and somebody asked this question. It was a question and answer. And they said, isn't this a good eitzah to do this? So he says, it's a terrible eitzah. It's a terrible eitzah. It's a churban beis hamikdash. Rip kriya. I don't understand. So then under his breath, nobody could hear it, except everybody in the audience heard what he said. He said, what's wrong with people? It's a rip kriya. I don't understand. Right? You're going to switch it. Very strange. But the Gra is a very important segue to understanding the whole concept of the 3 weeks. Because the Gra, and this Aliba de Kodesh maybe, of the family, is a famous shita of Salvechik. Salvechik's famous shita during the 3 weeks, which is very important to know because it's going to come up with shaving and maybe with music, is the following. Rav Salvechik believes in what I call a paradigm. You can't invent a new halacha that doesn't have some sort of framework that you can put it in, right? It's a little like Rav Rosenzweig, a paradigm. I'm going to make you a flow chart now. What do I mean? You can't just say, the 3 weeks, here are the things you're not allowed to do. Just, no, it's got to be, what's a pattern? So Rav Salvechik writes as follows, as Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav. Be'aveilus to Sfira, right? Same thing he's going to write. Rabbeinu Hisbir, be'minag ha'aveilus mi'yudzayim betamas ve'elach hu bechinas aveilus shal yud beis chodesh. Right, just like in Sfira Soma. U'beshvu shachal bo tishabav, lefi minag ha'ramah, or Rosh Chodesh, as the Ramah says. Havei bechinas shloshim, u'betishabav gukho no'agim dine shiva. Says Rav Salavechik, there's a paradigm. The 3 weeks is like the year of Avelos. Whatever you're allowed to do during the year of Avelos, you're allowed to do during the 3 weeks. Whatever you're allowed to do during Shloshim, you can do during Chodesh Av. And the starkest, the most difficult, is Tisha B'Av itself. We're like Shiva, we sit on the floor. It makes sense. We do all these things. It's explained in Halacha why this is so, in Hashkafa as well. It's the opposite of Elos, because when Rahman al-Islam, a Karov, dies, it's raw, so right away you have Aninus, right away, right? You have the state of Shiva, then you go to Shloshim, then you go to the year, and we do the opposite, because we're gradually trying to get into understanding, right, what it is. And the Tisha B'Av comes, and they take off the paroches, and the lights are dimmed. So then hopefully, at least on that day, you'll feel something. So what does this lead us to believe? Says Rav Salavechik, shaving. Our first topic. Our second topic, sorry. He says when it comes to shaving, it's patterned after what? We're in 3 weeks now, year of Avelos. Wait a minute. Are you not allowed to shave during the year of Avelos? Are you not allowed to get haircuts? Are you allowed to do both? Ooh, he's a good heter of heart scene. Let's go get some haircuts going. Let's go to Walmart. So another Shiloh we could ask later on. Anyway, listen to this. Says Rav Salavechik, it's actually usher, listen to what I'm saying now, it's actually usher to shave and get a haircut during the entire year of Avelos. Wait a minute, that's not true. My father... Okay, I'll explain to your father. There is a halacha that says, ad sheyigra bo chavera. Right? Gemara Moed Katan says that during Shloshim, what happens on the day of Shloshim, either physically the Chevra Kedisha comes up to him and says, hey you, you look like I'm a nuvel b'shus ha-toyra, you look horrible. Take a shave, take a haircut. Now, once they say that, that's done. Nobody has to go up to him anymore. Some Chevra Kedishas don't do that. It's obvious. It's just on Shloshim. They know that they're allowed to shave. And at that moment, they're now allowed to shave for the rest of the year. Right? Okay, there are chumras. I remember when I was in yeshiva, Rav Nevensal's father passed away. And Yitzchak Nevins was his name, and he didn't get a haircut the whole year. He didn't have a haircut. He didn't notice it until like he took his hat off once, and we're like, "Oh, you're like one of the Shana'al guys." His hair was getting a little long, so that was the only way he was like a Shana'al guy. So, Cesar of Soloveitchik, that would mean the following: Shemutu legalech b'mei asvira and mi yizayin b'tamos ad rosh chodeshav. Shemi acha shadin zmanim shav le'avelus to yud beis chodesh. The yud beis chodesh nagu ha'olam kedasa poiskim v'sorim dunaga b'chol yom. That you're allowed to shave every single day. It should be the same thing. That's what he says. Now, as I told you before, this actually applies today because we're shaving every single day, which we didn't normally do before. So the halacha might change. Besides the fact someone will learn out the halacha that why are we adding chumras? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would say this in Shir. He would say it says in halacha two things. During the 3 weeks, you're not allowed to get married, and you're not allowed to get haircuts. He wanted to tighten. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein writes this in his long article on this subject. Haircuts and shaving are two different things in halacha. It might not be the same. Just like we're makil, if somebody's shaving, right, is not shaving during the 3 weeks, and he gets a nice mustache, and it's hurting him to eat, it's bothering him, you're allowed to shave your mustache. So, for halacha. So, that is not the common shita. We all know that, right? The common shita is that most people don't. And it's said over, Rav Govach shares this, I know that this was a shir that was given years ago in Amir Kazarab. There's a funny story that goes with it. But the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Shapiro, said that for yeshiva bachram, you really shouldn't shave. What are you shaving for? It's like, I shaving for work. You have the famous heter of Moshe Feinstein, even Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach, who says, if you really feel like you're going to lose money, so it's just a minhag, so you can shave. Until maybe Shua Shechalba. Then he asked the following question. So he says, but yeshiva bachram, says Rav Shapiro. That's what your yeshiva bachram, by the way, for this intense purpose. What's the reason you're not shaving for? At least yeshiva, exception is during Sfira when you're remembering the students of Rabbi Akiva. Yeshiva bachram. But now, why shouldn't you? Why? Because so the girls are going to look at you and they're going to say, oh, he doesn't look good enough. Forget it. I'm not interested in him. We're not going on the Shabbos one. That it doesn't make sense then. Oh, so the Shaila comes up. Listen to this amazing. I love this. It's a great story. Somebody comes up to Rav Shapiro after his shir and says, Rebbe, I got a big problem. Go ahead. He said, I was read a shidduch. Sprinzel, obviously, is her name. And I want to go out with Sprinzel like you don't believe. This is my girl. I like her. She's eisgehalten, the whole ganze Geschäft. She's got a great Facebook status and Instagram and the whole ganze Geschäft. But look what I look like. With 3 weeks into the Sfira, doesn't matter, same story in the 3 weeks. And I look horrible. She's not going to think I'm good looking, Rebbe. What should I do? So he says, if you really think, it's like Hefzid Merubah, right? It's like work, going to work. You think it's going to break the shit. She's that shallow, okay, whatever. So, gets ready for the date, and he shaves, and he looks like his usual beautiful self, and they go out and have a great time. Everything's going very, very well, right? They go to the hotel lobby, they get a seltzer, and she gets a seltzer, and they talk for hours, and he's on cloud nine. So the faithful call comes from the shatran, and he's ready. He knows what to call. He knows. And the shatran says, I'm sorry, but she's not interested in going out with you again. She said, okay, it's impossible. How can that be? She said, I'll be honest. She really liked you. She really, really liked you. But she's looking for somebody like a little bit firmer. Like, for example, you shave during Sfira. Shiva doesn't shave during Sfira. She was very put off by that. And he's like, no, that's not. I did it because of it. Okay, fine. Anyway, the end of the story is I actually was able to marry my wife. She gave me a second chance. Yeah, it's a great story. Yeah, no. Anyway, so for a person to taina that's a, I don't think that's a good enough reason. And even Rav Moshe Feinstein in his tshuvas, he has two, I mean, he has a few of them, but a tshuva in Or HaChaim Chelek Dalet writes, Hine, Echad HaOisek Be'eza Mischar L'malacha She'im Lo Yafsi, if you stop here, it's the Kono, V'yimei Asfila Be'i She'ben Yudzayim B'tamaz Yi Yelo Hefseid Mamon Az Mutter. But then in another tshuva he writes, in Choshe Mishpat, in Chelek Aleph, Hine Im Eino Yachol Lelech La'Bodosh K'she'eino Megulach Roshaylo. He talks about Hefseid Mamon. So do we consider it Hefseid Mamon today? The only reason why I question this is because today in the work world, it's not like where it used to be. In the times of Moshe Feinstein, guess what used to happen in the times of Moshe Feinstein? You wore like a suit to work, and you had the fancy schmancy. Nowadays, dress down Fridays like every day. Right? These people, you know, got the earrings, they got the this, the tattoos. That, you're not allowed to question anybody at work anymore. You're not allowed to ask them if they're a he or a she anymore. Right? You're not allowed to ask anything. So a guy comes in and he's going to lose his job? I don't know. It depends the profession he has. Depends the profession. I happen to be, even though it doesn't look like this, this beard that I have now literally is from Sphera. My wife said I shouldn't shave it. We'll discuss off the table. So I still have it. I think it's totally mutter to shave during, based on Rav Soloveitchik, I think it is mutter. However, I don't think it's a minhag olam. Where I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh, if you shave, there's actually a shul, a shtibel, Masas Mordechai, they have a sign. They only put the sign up during the 3 weeks and during Sfira. And the sign says, you can't daven for the Amud if you shave during Sfira in that time. Okay, it goes with the usual stupidity of the shul as well. So my friend told me, this is a really true story, his son had a bris during Sfira's Omer. His son had a baby. So it's mutter, it's a halacha, you have to shave. So he shaved, and he's like, I'm going to Masas Mordechai today. I'm going to ask the Dam for the oven. And I have a note from the Moel that I was, that I was the Baal, Okay, fine. So he went there, and they said, you can't Dam. Your son can Dam for the oven, the baby that was just born. Okay, fine. Okay, no. But there is one caveat here that's extremely important. And that is, if I accept all of this, and now I'm going to be Machmir, and I'm going to be a good Jew, and I'm not going to shave, right? Sometimes a chumra leads to a kula. Comes Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and he says, what about Shabbos? Right? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said this as well. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik held, of course you could shave every day. But even if you want to be machmering yourself, wait a minute. Come Shabbos, I got a problem. It's called Kovet Shabbos. Why don't I care about Shabbos? The Magen Avraham points this out as well. Kovet Shabbos is so important that listen to this. When Tisha B'Av is on Thursday, the Gemara says in Tanis Daf Lamed, I believe. Avol hecha chal tishuva behei b'Shabbos muter lekavus listaper from chatzosi eilach mishum kovet Shabbos. This is a good hetter. You got to give Rabbi Dixon this hetter, right? You have in the camp now. It's very difficult. It's Thursday. It's Tishuvah. How are they going to do all the laundry? Okay, they did it during the week. Fine, but how are they going to do all the laundry during? How are they going to do it? Right. Right, you have one haircut guy. Or let's say, you have one Walmart. That's the only place you get a haircut in all Hickville, Norwich. It's impossible. So says the Tosfos, based on the Gemara in Tanis, it's mutter to do it, even on Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. Can you imagine? Says the Ron Lichtenstein. Why? Called Kovet Shabbos. Now, it happens to be we don't follow this halacha today. Even though the Magen Avraham, Mefurish, writes in this, and he says, well, this was much clearer. I should have used this time. The Magen Avraham says, "Mikol makom yesh lahakel im ein lo kitonot Shabbos." You shouldn't just stam wash something. It's only things that you really need for Shabbos. And he says, because Tosfos and Mefurish says like this, and even the Bir Halacha quotes and says, "Lachein chovak Shabbos uliyam tisporet de aser." Then he says, "Vahagos ashrim meor zaruah bechamishim atir mishum kovet Shabbos." But he says, to take a haircut, that he says it can't be mutter. Because it doesn't look so bad. But he's the Havamina that should be mutter. So he says, Rav Aaron, listen, I don't understand. Mishum Kovet Shabbos, it should be that you have to shave. I'm talking about, obviously, someone who shaves every day. You're shaving every day anyway, and for Shabbos comes now, you look like this, it doesn't make sense. So he was a big proponent that you have to shave for Shabbos. So I remember when I first, for many years, I always shaved. And when I moved to Ramat Beit Shemesh, I said, I got to follow what everybody's doing here. So I remember Rav Aaron's son, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, said to me, He said, I have a tape. I don't know if you know what that is, but I have a tape. And if you listen to this tape, you'll listen to my father, Rav Aaron, you'll shave every Shabbos, Chum Shum Kabbat Shabbos. That's what he felt. Okay, I'm not strong enough for that. I follow the... So again, in my humble opinion, it's not halacha l'maisa. You don't have to. But I think as yeshiva bachram, why not? I think it's better to remember the Chorban in this way. The last thing I wanted to discuss with the non-remaining few minutes that we have is probably the thing we should have started with, but everybody talks about this so much, I thought it's, you know, I'll only leave a few minutes for this, and that's music, right? So from what I understand, please correct me if I'm wrong, the psak of the poisek of the camp is that you're not allowed to play regular music in the dining room. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Right. So what do they play? Acapella music? No? Nothing.
Acapella.
Okay. So the question is, where did this come from? And this is shocking, right? This is where it's so interesting if you look at, and it's important to understand the Siyah of Halacha. As I told you before, the Halacha says the Tavkuf and Nunalef is only two things that are usur, getting married and haircuts. And the Magen Avraham says, oh yeah, also, Nirali, the usur la'asos suda, why is he not allowed to? He talks about, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to not only get married, you can't have the Suda Sarusim Avala Ares, you're allowed to get engaged. I always thought this was a funny thing. Even on Tisha B'Av Atzma, why? Shema Yikadmenu Acher. Right? The girl is so Sprinzel. We'll go back to our Sprinzel case. She's so gorgeous that you're afraid if you don't get engaged right away, someone's going to chop her up. You know, they're going to go on the Tisha B'Av walk and see her and go, oh. And he says, oh, I would have known, I would have. And now I waited too late. I waited till after Chatzos on this. Okay. Says the Magen Avraham, nearly da asur lasoy suda afilu below rikudim. What does that mean? Rikudim, dancing. He says da asur lasos rikudim miyud zayin betamos ve'ela. He says, you know why the engagement party is asur? Because you're not allowed to dance. The wedding's asur because you can't dance during this time. So everybody jumps on this, including the Mishnah Berurah and the Eliyahu Rabba and the Pri Megadim, the Ber Hetiv, even Rav Avadya Yosef, and says, you can't listen to music that will make you dance. That's the Isser over here. Shocking. What does that mean? What kind of music is that? I don't know. To each your own. So that would mean, what if the guy's sitting in the car and he has this very short 3-hour drive to Camp Misora every single week, twice a week. He's not sure why he decided to do this. Right? And okay, he listens to a lot of Shurim. But how many Rabbi Hartstein Shurim can you listen to on Wayu Torah? Because you're a Baal Gaiva, you're not like Pinchas. Maybe you want to listen to yourself speak. No. You listen to it. So now you want to listen to some music. Or Nebuch. It's late at night and, you know, you're a little bit tired. So you want to wake yourself up. So you're listening now to real great music, right? You're listening to Liebe Schmelzer. And, right? And it's lit. And all of a sudden you're in the car and go, woohoo! And you're dancing in the car. I don't think so. Besides the fact, just so I'm clear, that's Pekuach Nefesh. A person's driving up and he thinks he's falling asleep. Besides the fact that obviously he should pull over, there's just a horrible story with one of the trucking companies. I don't know if you heard, where they're bringing up the, and they still call them trunks, right? Even though they're duffel bags. They're bringing up the trunks to camp, and he had been working the whole day and he was, whatever, working for many, many hours, and he fell asleep on the road. And he's Baruch Hashem, he's alive, and but his truck flipped over a few times. Don't worry, all the duffel bags are okay. But he in the drive, thank God, he was okay, and the person that was with him was okay. But this is a mom. So listen to music for sure is mutter, 100%. There's no question about it. But stop, listen to music. So that would be the question: Do we dance to music like this? Is that so? In the dining room, in a chanami, that's the whole point of the music being like that. People start dancing. You know, I don't know if you guys don't know because you don't see. But if you look on the other side, you know, there's another side. The women, the girls are going to start dancing, and there. So okay, so that I think is usher. It doesn't matter the type of music, guys. I don't think it matters. Excuse me for saying, I don't know where this heter of acapella came up. It doesn't make any sense. If it's going to lead to dancing, it's going to lead to dancing. Nowadays, acapella music is fake anyway because it's all digitized and it sounds better than regular music. DJs sound better than live music in many cases. So I don't think that that's a good enough heter. But what about slow music? Right? Listen to this strange thing. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say the following. You know what? I really got inspired by lessons from the Lev today. I want to concentrate on Yerushalayim. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on to my iTunes. I'm going to find, and I write the word, I don't know, Yerushalayim. and a Shweki song comes on. Ooh. And I listen to the song, and it's got a video, and it's showing Yerushalayim. You know, that's awesome. You can't do that during the time. It says Rav Shlomo Zalman Abrach. I don't understand. And Elicha Shlomo, he says, that's what the 3 weeks is about. It's supposed to concentrate on Yerushalayim. Right? People don't do Tikkun Chatzos. This is the time Dafka did Tikkun Chatzos during this time. To remember the Yerushalayim. He says, of course you should listen to slow music. It's not going to lead you to dance. And it's talking about Rachem, Alcion, Birachem. Of course you should. It doesn't think that's a problem. Even Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted, well, we'll get to his famous psak in a second, that in one of the Tchum journals I saw quoted that he even said that background music would be totally mutter for sure. Right? A person listens to it, he's at work, and it just helps him work. That's not the music that we're talking about. Right? It doesn't mean you walk into a store, you're at the Syracuse Mall, if you remember. You're at the Syracuse Mall, and you go into the Banana Republic because you're very stark. And they have music, and you go, excuse me, sir, can you please turn off the music? It's for 3 weeks. And what does the person say behind the counter? Right? He says, I hold from Rav Soloveitchik. And Rav Soloveitchik says, it's patterned after the year of Avelis, and probably can listen to music during the year of Avelis. Okay, fine, whatever. So that, he says, is not mutter. I said this yesterday in the shiur, the impromptu shiur that we gave. I just think it's a cute thing. But he asked, I forgot who it was, but it's in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah. One of my students came to my house, and he said, Rebbe, Baruch Hashem, you have a lot of svarim, but I see you have 4 sets of Mishnah Berurah in your house. Like, you should get rid of some of them. I'm like, wow, you're a smart guy. So I had him look at each of the Mishnah Berurahs to see they were different. I have a regular Mishnah Berurah set. Then I have the Dirshu one, which has different psakim on it. Then I had the Rav Nevensal's edition, right? And then I have my own little personal small one that I write notes in. Fine. But in the Dirshu edition, he asked the following shayla. It's a good shayla for camp, right? You're the driver. I remember last year there was the Frum driver, Mark, right? So you're the driver, not the Hungarians who listen to music that's definitely remembering Avelis. And all of a sudden he writes, this is a Kolisha shayla, but the girls start singing. The wheels on the bus go round and round. Right? So what should you do now? The driver has a problem. What's the problem? He's not allowed to listen to women singing. So what do you think the answer is? He said, yeah, you have to drive the van off a cliff and kill them. No. So he says, they're singing. This is what your job is. There's no. He didn't think that was a problem. I once asked the shiloh, I was very surprised. I'm not going to say who the person I asked, but a prominent rav. And I asked him about the kids. You're in the van, and the kids want to listen to Uncle Moshe. What's the halach? So he passed, and he thought that that's music is music. And it's awesome. So then I explained to him, did you ever listen to Uncle Moshe? I said, Eino Velus Godel Mizu. I said, so he thought it was not. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very interesting tshuva, which I mentioned yesterday, is highly not followed. And that is, he thinks that music is also during the whole year. So famous tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has this in 2 places as well. In Igros Moshe Orachayim Aleph and Orachayim in Yoredeya Be'. Where he quotes the Gemara that talks about Machlokes Rashi Tosfos, which turns out to be a Machlokes between Shulchan Aruch and Rama, about listening to music be'olam be'zman hazeh. We spoke about the Zeichel L'Churban yesterday. We have a lot of Zeichel L'Churban items that we don't follow nowadays, and that we should. Somebody pointed out to me, it's true, and that Shulchan Aruch talks about putting offer on the chasam. Some people still do this. I remember at my wedding, Rav Goldlich was Masada Kedushin, and he took out a little pouch with the offer that he actually gets. It's really cool. From underneath the Yeshiva HaKotel is where the Kohen Gadol, they say, used to live. There's a museum underneath the Yeshiva HaKotel. So I'm assuming, obviously, legally, there's a little offer there. Says, maybe it was from the times of the Beis HaMikdash, from the Kohen. It says, this is the best one to use. So he puts it on the head of the Chasam. Not everybody does that anymore. Everybody, you know, breaks the glass. That I understand, even though that's based on 2 different reasons. You got to do that. But one of the Zeichel L'Churban things the Gemara discusses is not listening to music. How can you have Simcha Yisera in this time? So the Rama says that that's only talking Beis Hamishta. The Rama, which we should paskin like, says it's only like in a party situation, that's not a Suda Mitzvah. Rav Moshe's question that he asked in Orach Chaim Aleph, I was actually at a banquet, a dinner. So a Rebbe asked the following question. He said, they're making me go to the shul dinner, the school dinner. I'm a Rebbe in a yeshiva. And they're going to have music, right? Lipa's coming. With all of his glory and hats and painted shbekishes. And he's coming and he's singing. Isn't that the Ramaz Beis HaMishta? There's wine being served there. That's a Beis HaMishta. So Rav Moshe says he doesn't think so. He says he thinks that that's not a base on Mishnah because he's done Tzarech Mitzvah, even if it's Mamish Tzarech Mitzvah, right? This is for sure mutter at a wedding, it's at a Siyum, that's all mutter. But any time that they're serving wine, and it's hard to come up with a situation like this, right? I mentioned yesterday there are some restaurants that have this. Kosher restaurants, they have music. Live music, you know, come Tuesday nights, and we're going to have live music. That could be kind of that might be a problem, even according to the Ramah. Rav Moshe thinks it's aser, even though the Ramah says what he says, he still thinks it's aser today. However, he says, for sure during Sfiras HaOmer and the 3 weeks, it's aser. So I think that this is possibly a throwback to something else, and that's Pas Yisrael. Possibly the reason is, I think Rabbi Savlosky says this, if you look at the Orach HaShulchan's Lashon, it's a strange thing. Why is it that all of a sudden during Aseres Yemei Tshuva we're all so super frum and we don't have, right? You're not supposed to have, by the way, it's Shabbos as well. Keep in mind, in camp, not sometimes difficult. If you're a waiter in the dining room, don't serve those non-Pas Yisrael things, right? It says on Shabbos, Mishnah Berurah says, on Shabbos you should follow Pas Yisrael. So why? Why during these days? Oh, because you're firmer during those? No, that's not true. Because that's really the right halacha. And at least during the time when we're focusing on Kedusha V'tahara, you should act. So says, according to this idea, I think Rabbi Solovsky's idea is that during this time of the 3 weeks, at least we should listen to Rav Moshe Feinstein. At a time of intense Zecher L'Churban, what should you do? Zecher L'Churban. You shouldn't listen to music, because that's the original Takana. Yifshar La'amud Bahem. The whole year, it's very hard not to listen to music. But at least we should do it during this time. So that's why many people don't listen to music during this time. I think that it is a very acceptable, codified halacha. The overwhelming majority of poskim from the Tzitz Eliezer, who talks about tape music today, is considered to be like live music, quoting the Shlomo Chaim, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, who said in those days, even having a record player playing gets considered to be live music. Rav Sternbach says that it's aser. Rav Adi Yosef says that it's aser. I just want to quote the last tshuva, because I think it's, I'm sorry to use the words comical, but the Minchas Yitzchak, Diane Weiss, has something shocking. Listen to this tshuva. Let's just listen to these words. Hinei zeh, ein safek, deminog shelo lidnaheg miklei zemer bimei hasfira. Not listening or playing music during this time. Godo koyach haminog. It's such a strong minog. Ad de yesh lomar de nogea beisr de oraisa. He said, if you listen to music during Sfiras HaOmer, it's you're over in Issa Daraisa because of the koyach of the minuk. Wow. Okay. That's a big chumrah. But that's what he says. And the overall majority of poskim agree with that. Again, going out on a fringe, there are many poskim like Rabbi Willick, who said that he thinks it's mutter even during for an avel. And if you pattern after what we said in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, it should be mutter. If it's not leading to dancing, that memela should be mutter. If it's inspiring you, for sure it should be mutter. If it's helping you drive, for sure it should be mutter. Background music, for sure it should be mutter. But again, you should know what the poskim said. Yosef Midvarein, the last point. The whole guy concept here is one thing and one thing only. We want you to focus during these 3 weeks that this time is different than the rest of the year. Seshas Peronius. It started with today's fast day. Today's fast day starts a time where terrible things happened to the Jewish people during history. From the times of the Meraglim to the times of the Holocaust, and it continues. It's not just about the Beis HaMikdash. We're in a difficult time of the year. And therefore, we're trying, because it's so difficult, to try to focus on how do we do that. And that's what this whole time is about. How do we focus on that? Through these different halachas. People want to accept chumras. And they want to say, well, I'm also not going to do this and that. Okay, I don't want to. I'm not going to wear new clothes. I'm not going to. Okay, that's fine. You can't make fun of a person because they want to try to focus more on Churban HaBayis. But imagine the guy who doesn't listen to music now, and now it's a week into the 3 weeks, and he gets so upset, and he's getting angry. And he goes up to a person because he can't listen to his music, and he's in a bad mood now. And he starts screaming at his roommate, at his bunkmate. So what was the point of that? That's the 3 weeks? Sinas Chinam is the point? Chacham Eina Barosh. You have to be smart and realize, what am I trying to do here? So again, I think that really, really, really should be our focus. What will help me focus on the 3 weeks? Right? Will it be, you know, mamish wearing a bracelet that says, Lashon Hara Lo Medaber Alai, and I really believe it, and I'm really going to focus on that? And I'm going to have that chavrusa, going back to the lessons from the Leva, I'm going to have that chavrusa. Right? So I'm going to have that. So that's good. Just 1 minute of a final note. I dedicate this year, L'zecher Nishmas, my grandfather's yahrzeit is this week, Yaakov Kapel ben Menachem Mendel, HaKohen. And when we cleaned out his home, I remember finding a little petek. And on the petek it said the famous line. I guess it was maybe a Dvar Torah that he once gave. We know the line says, Kol Mesabel Yushalayim, Zoycha Roy B'Simchasai. So he wrote there, what does it mean, Zoycha Roy B'Simchasai? Guess what? If you weren't Mesabel Yushalayim, aren't you going to see it B'Simchasai also? What's the difference? He goes, no. The person who is Mesabel Yushalayim, who understands even before Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, what we're missing here, what the chilul is, Hashem, of not having a Beis HaMikdash, his chus will be that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, he's really going to understand because he understood what we were missing. So when it's built, he's going to understand what it is. That's the void over there. That's the idea that we have to think about constantly in this time. What am I missing not having the Beis HaMikdash? And going back to what I said before about the people say, well, 1967, we have now the Makom HaMikdash. Are you kidding me? Do you see what's on the Makom HaMikdash? Do you see the strife we get? The United States gets for declaring a capital in Yerushalayim? That's understanding what there is no Beis HaMikdash. Having to look every time you go to the Kotel to another building that's there. That's difficult. You have to understand what we're missing. If only when you understand what you're missing will you understand the simcha of having a Beis HaMikdash. Emir Tz Hashem, it should come in Meheru V'Yameinu.